Well, as the sign up there on the slide says, I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, Debbie and I. And when I recently went back to Hawaii to visit my father, I had the opportunity, under the guidance of our master gift arranger, of my wife, to pick up about 175 calendars from Hawaii. So Vanna White is now showing you calendars. But we picked up one for every family in the church. If you would, if they're going to be down there in the fellowship hall afterwards, and there's six different varieties, so just pick whatever one you want. The pictures are on the back if you want to choose. And please enjoy sights of Hawaii, and maybe one day we'll all take a mission trip to Hawaii together. this morning when I got the call or the text from Pastor Charles, I thought about the passage. I thought, okay, do I pull out a sermon from something I've done before? Do I look at the passage? And I just prayed. I spent some time praying. And I thought about it, and the core of the passage, the angel's song, which is in your bulletins, it talks about Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. The core of the passage is about God's peace. So the more I prayed about it, the more I thought, what an example of God's peace in the middle of feeling very unpeaceful and delivering a message that I had not had the time to study. But God knows his word. God knows us. And I have been praying and asking God to somehow give me what you need and what would glorify him. So let's pray together as we share the word of God together. Lord, we know that peace is not based on a lack of conflict or trouble. You say your peace, your shalom, is based on your presence with us. And so, Lord, more than anything, we ask that you would reside here in this sanctuary, that you would reside in our hearts, that you would reside in our worship, and that you would make your word come alive. We need you, not human wisdom, not human efforts at peace. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Where do you go when you want peace? Where are you the most peaceful? Is there some place in your house? Turn to somebody next to you and just answer that question. Is there somewhere you go or something you do when you need peace? Could you answer that question with somebody next to you? I know one of the places I go to be with God and to enjoy his presence is right almost exactly where I'm seated this morning, in an empty sanctuary during the week. Just sitting here, and this week I turned on the Christmas lights and just sat and prayed and enjoyed being here in Washington, D.C. Now, did that mean that everything was peaceful around us? No, it doesn't. But we can be at peace inside if God is with us. So, this passage that Pastor Charles chose, I took a chance to look at it, and I actually added on one extra passage, and we're going to look at that in a moment. But this passage takes place in Israel. It describes the angels coming and appearing to a group of poor, humble shepherds. You know, if you think about who shepherds are today, perhaps they're police officers or servants or those who may be overlooked, maybe denigrated a little bit. But yet they served a very important function. And God's angels appeared to them and told them the good news. This picture that's on the slides up now is actually a church that's built not too far from what is believed to be the shepherd's field. There are areas around modern Bethlehem. Some of the suburbs or areas just adjacent to Bethlehem is Beit Zahur. We actually went there on Christmas Eve in 2004 when our family was serving in Israel for a short time. So we crossed over into the occupied territories, the West Bank, and as a group stood outside this neon-covered little church and thought about what it must have been like that dark night. Next slide. This is where we lived in the West Bank, and in a house for handicapped Muslim children run by Christians called Bet Yamima. And this was our view. You can't really tell from the view, but there is the rubble of the Bethlehem police station, which was destroyed by Israeli rockets after members of a Muslim group had fired rockets at Israel. There was places all around us with bullet holes. But our building was strangely at peace, even as we took care of these children who had nowhere else to go. God provided protection. While we were there in Israel during the time of Christmas in Bethlehem, this next slide shows just the processions. Different groups are able to come in at designated times to come to the area of what is celebrated as the area of Jesus' birth, a church. And they come in under guard, usually in armored cars, and the priest holds up a cross out of the window. And they end up in this area, this next slide, at the Bethlehem Peace Center, which is very ironic, because if you think about it, Israel today, then and today, is among the most embattled areas of the world. At that time, Yasser Arafat had just died, so the Israelis had just moved cordons of tanks around the area of Bethlehem so that anyone passing in or out of Bethlehem, where we lived, would have to go through armored protection. In the time of Jesus, when he was born in Bethlehem, there was an enforced peace called the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, which was enforced by their military might. But there was still great violence, even among the Caesars. So these angels appear in the passage I want us to read today, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. And let me just read it aloud. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." I heard once that these cloths that were in the stable area where Jesus was born were not clean cloths, but they were cloths that were often set aside and dried after the wrapping of a body, or to be used for wrapping a dead body. So it's very interesting that a baby born in humble circumstances, God himself, would be wrapped in the very kinds of cloths that he would be wrapped with at his death, after being killed. It was a prelude. It was a hint of his purpose. There was great joy in the heavens, but there was also a sober recognition that this baby came to declare God's good news, but he would grow up and die on our behalf, and then rise from the dead. Peace is not the absence of conflict or pain or death. Peace is the presence of God. And I thought about these words from John 14:27, the next slide. Jesus said this on the night before he went to the cross. He said this to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Are you afraid of anything today? Is there something nagging in the back of your heart or your mind? Is there something going on at your work or in your home or your school or with friends, neighbors? Is there something that causes you to fear a little bit? Peace is the presence of God, not the absence of pain, conflict, or death. I want to share with you about a friend of mine, a man named Joe Huster. He's an intimidating-looking man, not very tall, but very tough-looking. He worked with me at the University of Hawaii dormitory system. I had become a new Christian and had come back to work at the University of Hawaii after moving from Maui to take over the management of an area which was very dangerous. Hale means house. Hale Noʻalani, the House of Noʻalani on the University of Hawaii campus, encompassed about 550 residents. It was a place where there had been attempted murders. It was a place where there were drug dealers. Narcotics officers had busted down a door a semester earlier. The college staff that ran the dorm hid in their rooms because they were so afraid to go out and confront what was happening. Armed police officers patrolled. It was the most dangerous place in the University of Hawaii system. The university asked me to come back and to try to bring that place under order. Again, as a new Christian, I understood that even though the world around you may be crumbling or in chaos, the peace of God, His presence in us through the Holy Spirit, allows us to do the miraculous. And so I began. I decided that if I was to do this, I would ask for three things. The Upper University administration needed to agree to this before I would move from my post at another college and come to the main university campus. These three things were this. First, that they would give me authority to hire armed police officers and to use them if necessary. Second, that if we needed to evict or remove or suspend students from school and from any presence in the dormitories immediately, they would give me the authority to do that. And third, I could hire anyone I needed to be a part of the staff that would turn this dormitory area around. They agreed. And among those people that I hired, one of them was this man, Joe Huster. He had been in the army. He was a faithful Christian. He had been a prison guard. Again, not a big man, but courageous and faithful and firm and understanding. And day by day, eviction by eviction, confrontation by confrontation, God and His peace took over that dormitory. Joe went on to get his PhD in philosophy and become a philosophy professor. Looking at him, you would have never thought that would be his future. He had memorized entire books of the Bible. I would say to him, Romans 15:2, and he would recite it by memory. I could just pick any area, and he'd have it by memory. And then Joe decided, after teaching as a philosophy professor, to become a lawyer. He went back to law school, graduated at the top of his class, moved back to Hawaii, and started fighting for those who couldn't fight for themselves, taking cases that others would overlook. 2 days ago, we had a text message from Hawaii that Joe, who was a few years younger than me, had a sudden, unknown disease overwhelm him. The text said that he was in the hospital and that his organs were shutting down, and there was no clue as to why that was happening. And then last night, actually yesterday afternoon, we found out that he was on life support, and the decision had been made to remove him from life support. And right around 4:30 yesterday afternoon, Joe Huster, my friend, faithful disciple of the Lord, went home to Jesus. He leaves behind a son who just started college and a wife who loves him very much and a church family in Hawaii that loves him very much. And even as I wept and Debbie wept last night hearing this news, I knew and I know that Joe's family knows the peace of Christ. Because an angel and a child were present in Bethlehem. Hordes of angels, but one child, God himself, came to give us peace and to be our peace. Each of us has a limited number of days. This is not your standard Christmas message, is it? But I feel like what God is saying is that if we are to be at peace, we need to live each day as if it is Christmas. That God can be alive in our hearts, filling us, leading us, and letting us share his peace. I'm going to spend just a few moments in prayer. I'm speaking slowly for the translators because we don't have transcripts for everything. Thank you very much, translators. I appreciate it. But I'm going to give a time of silence, too, when you can just have a time with God. You don't have to pray a certain way. Maybe you're not used to praying. But just speak to God as if you understand that he loves you. He listens to you. He wants what is best for you. Share your heart with him. Okay, let me lead you in prayer, and then I'll give you a time to pray as well. Lord, thank you that peace has come and that peace has been given to all who love you and desire to please you, just as the angel said. Father, we confess that we are weak, we are distractible, and we need you to lift us and our eyes away from what is chaos in our lives. We need your peace. Lord, I pray for those here who do not have a relationship with you yet, a love relationship with you yet. I pray that now would be the time, not tomorrow, not a week from now, not some point later, but now would be the time when they say to you, I need your forgiveness, I need your peace. Help me to live for you. And I pray for those here who do know you, who do love you, and have already been forgiven by your death on the cross and your rising from the dead. They've already received the greatest gift. I pray for those here who are facing trials and difficulties, that your peace would overcome them again. That they would know and trust and walk with you. And now in the next minute or so, would you just spend some time praying with the Lord, laying before him any burdens, your desires, and even perhaps your decision to follow him in faith. Jesus' name, amen. I close with just one final slide and a quote. And I'll go through it in English, and I know the translators will do it in the appropriate language. True peace comes from yielding all to the will of God. Let him have his way. Let him solve the problem. Then the heart can be at peace. This is the peace Jesus had as he faced the agony of Calvary. This is the peace offered to us. Christians do not need pleasures, affluence, influence, gratification of desires. Instead, they obtain peace through fellowship with God. Their peace is within, and the world cannot understand it, nor can it take that peace away. May God's peace be with you this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name.